Welcome to the Built to Lead podcast.
Great. What are we talking about today?
Today,
the 10th episode of Built to Lead.
Like I said earlier, this is the sexiest topic we've done yet, Tyler.
Oh man,
I can only imagine.
I'm excited.
As you should be. You know, this is an exciting thing.
Business sexy.
Business stuff. Right.
Oh yeah.
So the most sexy thing that we are going to talk about on this podcast is preparation, processes, and systems.
Oh man, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
All the librarians out there are just like,
ooh. Like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Dewey Decimal.
Yeah.
That's great. So yeah, preparation, processes, and systems. And you know, I think this is number 10.
Yep.
Of our kind of series on building businesses. And I would be remiss if we didn't go down this road. I was thinking about it earlier, and the reality here is that when you start a business, the big dream, the exciting thing is you're going to go out, you're going to make the sale, and they're going to tell their friend, and they're going to tell their friend, and you're going to make the deal, and you're going to get flooded with customers. That's the dream. That's
money
what
will
we want to do.
Pouring onto you.
You're just going to be so many customers, and I'm going to be so successful, and we're going to make so much money. And the reality of that is that if you go out and do that first, and you don't have preparation, processes, and systems, you're not going to be able to meet the demand, and you're going to look terrible. Your business is going to disappoint your customer because you're not going to be able to provide the service fast enough or quick enough or
with
consistency. You're not going to be able to get them the product that they want fast enough. They're going to have to wait. They're going to be frustrated or delayed or whatever it be, right? And so you can't be excellent when the demand comes, like when it comes your way and you finally have that success moment and you're going to skyrocket to the moon. We don't have our preparation, our processes and our systems in place. We're going to stumble and trip and miss that opportunity. We're actually not going to be able to take advantage of that opportunity.
Right.
Right. And so that's why this is such an important topic. Sexy or not, this is the reality. This is a part of the foundations of being excellent and good in business, right? There's a quote that I wanted to say here that I think is really a strong one, and I really like it. The secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his time when it comes.
Mm.
Benjamin Disraeli.
I like that one.
And that's really what it comes down to, is you need to be prepared, right? You need to have things figured out, systematized, controlled, and organized so that when the moment comes, you're prepared to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Right. So that's it. That's going to be the topic today. And I'm excited about it because it's funny. I'm pretty passionate about systems. I like building systems and processes. I won't say I like building processes, like the whole step-by-step and writing them out and creating a standard operating procedure. Not my most exciting moment. But if you have a problem or a frustration that requires a process or a system to solve it,
you like the innovation side of figuring out how to solve a problem. You
the
like
creativity.
Capturing that process.
Right? Like that, we were talking about that earlier too. It's like in the book E-Myth, they break every person down into three roles. So one's an entrepreneur, one's a manager, and one's a technician.
Very interesting, yeah.
Which I would go back to that book many, many times. Highly recommend the book. There's a lot of things for especially new entrepreneurs and businesses in there that can really help you set it up. But the reality is, when it comes to creating processes and systems and stuff like that, you kind of need all three people to input to it, right? Because an entrepreneur is your kind of creative, comes up with ideas. And like, so it's like, okay, we have this problem. The technician's going to go, I have this problem. Or the manager's going to say, I have this problem. And they don't necessarily have the creativity or the want to come up with how we're going to solve the problem. They're just frustrated with the situation that they're in. So the creativity of the entrepreneur coming in is how we come to that solution. We go, okay, what about this? What about that? What about this? Could we do this? Could we do that? And that all is really great. But then you need the technician to go, that's not going to work. Because if you do this, then this isn't going to happen. Or I can't do that because this is how I do things, or they're going to create all the roadblocks for you that you got to kind of create a system go around. And then once you create the system, you got to get the technician to follow it and do it consistently. Right. So who's going to make sure that happens?
Yeah, the manager.
Manager loves a good system and will stay inside of a good system and will execute on that system and keep it consistent, rolling and smooth, but they don't necessarily always want to create it. They'll organize it and they'll control it and they'll run the system. But you need the creativity, you need the experience of the frontline technician, and you need a manager to run it.
Yeah.
So you need all these kind of different personalities involved to be good at creating systems and executing on them, right?
Right, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And that's the book E-Myth.
E-Myth is, that's the one of the chapters breaks
okay.
the personalities down, which I found really helpful for me. I know you've said many times yeah. that you found, you wish you'd read that book 20 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd understand yourself and your gifts and your skills a little
yes.
better, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially in this arena, in mm-hmm. even just at work, where my job used to have, just knowing that side would have been so helpful. Because then I would have sought out the people who are going to fulfill some of those other roles better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, it's, you create a team off these. Like, we need a variety of personalities and skill sets to create a strong team. And so when you know where you fit and like it just kind of aligns, then you fall into that and you do your part and everyone succeeds because you're doing what you're good at and passionate about and gifted in.
Yeah. One question that comes to mind is this, if you're running a business, is this something that's just going to naturally, this is the natural outcome? Is it organic or is it something that you have to be more purposeful about in doing?
Yeah, I think I would say there's two parts to that, because there's a natural and an unnatural aspect to systems and processes and preparation.
Right.
I think preparation in general is unnatural. Like we just want to kind of take things as they come as a human.
You
wake up, you go with the flow, you do the thing, a problem comes, you figure it out. So naturally, when we start a business, we have a really good idea, especially yeah. because the entrepreneur usually is the business starter, right? So they got a good idea and they've got a creative thing and then they start doing it and then problems arise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they can solve problems and create ideas and things like that, but then they struggle to maybe run the system and keep it consistent and do all those types of things.
Yeah.
The frustration is what is the natural part, is that when things increase in volume, so you make one sale, you deal with one customer, you make one product, no big deal. What I'm doing right now works.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Okay, do it again. Do it again. Third time, fifth time, sixth time. Okay, this is, you know, we're getting some movement here. And the process rolls along. Okay, but then we hit a point. So we do 10 or we do 20 or we do 30 or we were doing 10 a week. And we're doing 10, 10, 10, yeah. 10. And we can manage that. And that's good. And we're busy. And then someone says, I need 20 right now.
And
we go,
and you're still getting the 10 that you had before.
Right? Like, I can't do 20. I'm only doing 10. I don't have 20 in stock. I don't have enough time to deal with 20 new customers. I don't, like, all these problems. So now it's like, okay, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can even gradually come up on it. It's 12, it's 13, it's 14, it's 15. And it's like, I can't take any more appointments. I can't talk to people anymore. I can't make them fast enough, because by the time I'm spending all my time selling them at the front counter, I'm not spending my time in the back building the thing or mm-hmm. whatever, right? And so then the system, whatever we call it, it's yeah. not much of one, but the system we're using, the process we're using breaks. It doesn't work anymore. We get frustrated and we want to get better and we want to do more. And so in that frustration, that's the natural part, is to go, okay, I got to find a better way. So the right. drive for excellence and the frustration of a system not working is what drives us towards creating better systems and processes. Right.
Yeah. And so then you go back to the drawing board, so to speak.
Yeah. But to be a good leader and a good entrepreneur or manager or technician, the best way to go about this is to do it first, right? Like to be prepared rather than mm-hmm. to just react when the problem arises, right? And yeah. as you get bigger, like as companies get to be 50, 100, 150, millions of dollars are rolling around, like these problems, they start becoming big, big problems that aren't just like a quick fix. You can't just quick change a system. Mm-hmm. You don't just change your company software when you're doing $50 million
yeah.
in a heart. Like that takes 1 to 2 year process sometimes for vetting the new software, planning when you can actually implement it, retraining all of your staff, changing all of your software and your hardware
yeah.
and all the, like, you can't just flip a switch and fix a lot of these problems as you get bigger.
Yeah. It's like going from a canoe to the Titanic.
Yeah.
Turning the Titanic.
I don't know
a lot.
If I like the Titanic as an analogy here.
For a business.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to go. I like the canoe in that comparison.
Canoe. But canoe, that's a cruise liner.
Yeah. To right. I saw an ad today. The icon of the sea.
Oh.
The biggest cruise ship or whatever. It was cool.
Yeah. It takes a lot to turn one of those. It doesn't take a lot to turn a
canoe. Yeah, that's true. It's the to turn that massive thing is not a small feat, yeah. Right? You don't change the steering process when you're in the middle of the sea, right? So yeah. Being prepared is a big part of it. So I think that the three main points here are that we will always fall to the lowest level of our highest preparation. So basically, as prepared as we are, that's where we're going to fall to when the heat is on, right? So preparation is really important because when the pressure's on, that's the line where you're going to fall to, right? When it comes to processes are what you need to make progress, right? I think of things that as an entrepreneur, there's a lot of things that maybe you're not doing every day, right? You're doing payroll every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or you're doing renewing stuff once a year, or you're dealing with a registration. There's all these types of processes that are monthly, weekly, annually, quarterly. Like there's things that come up, right? And what happens when you're in the new, things, I got to register for this. So then you learn and you go and you meet with people and you get their information and you do the process. And then you go, okay, I got it. Good. I don't have to deal with that again until next year. Next year comes around and you go, I don't remember how I did that last time. And so guess what? You go and you relearn and you rethink it through and you do all the process. And then after a couple of times, maybe it sinks in or maybe it doesn't. Depends how busy you are, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then at some point, now you got to teach someone how to do it. So then you teach that person to do it the first time. And then 1 year rolls around and guess what? You're teaching them how to do it again, right? Because, maybe they're not as industrious in figuring the problem out as you are, right? So the relearning and the reteaching of these things, it's such an energy suck. Like it takes so much mental capacity to solve these problems the first time, to redo them annually, quarterly, monthly, whatever. So it just eats up all your time and energy, right? And so how do you make progress when you're burning, just literally burning up your energy and time and mental capacity solving problems that you've already solved before?
Yeah.
Right. And so when you solve a problem, if we create a process for that, then next year when that happens, you pull up your process.
Boom.
Check, 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 and you're on your way. So this is a big reason why we need processes, right? So processes equal progress, okay? Mm-hmm. Next thing, systems equal success. Without a system, and I would say a system is basically just a set of processes. So you take about a whole bunch of processes, you put them together, and that creates a system. So we follow all of these different processes together. They work with one another, and then that all creates a system. So now you have a system, and this is how you do things, right? And so systems create a scenario where if you're running a system, things start to be automated essentially. Yeah. And then as the business owner, the entrepreneur, when you have a system running, it's click whir and it just runs and it just goes through the motions and it does all the processes all together and it gets, and then you pump out a product. And literally if you have a good system, you should be able to do nothing.
Yeah.
So to speak, or your people are doing the processes inside the system and the system pumps out a consistent product.
And it's satisfying.
Service. And it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Like your business is just a system, right? The perfect business is a set of processes that were created into a system and sold to a customer.
Yeah. It's like opening up the back of a watch and just turning one gear and watching all the other gears 100%. Turn.
Yeah. And the role you choose to play in your business is hopefully the one that you're passionate about or that you love, or maybe no role. Like a lot of business owners don't work inside of their business or play a role anymore. They just own it.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the ultimate business scenario, is where you're the owner of the business and not the operator of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, wouldn't it be nice to just stay home all the time and your business just runs and the money just comes into that's the whole concept of it.
Yeah.
Right. And like,
so you can start more businesses.
So you can start more businesses, which I don't know who would do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
More than one business? Why would anybody be that stupid?
I'm not pointing any elbows, but I think I can think of somebody.
There's a few out there. But that is wherein your business actually has real value. Like if you're looking to exit a business, or you're looking to sell, or even sell a piece of a business, if you're required to be there, or you're the grease and you're the gears and you're the wheels of the business, then you're selling you. You're not selling something. You're not selling the system.
Yeah.
And that's the franchise model, right? And so
McDonald's, the Tim Hortons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And they created a system. They made that system as simple as possible. They killed complexity. They simplified. They created all this proper equipment and all the things that you add to make the system work perfect. They made it basically perfect in their mind, and then they took it and they scaled it. They stamped it. Take it, pick it up. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Right? And processes even go to sales processes and marketing processes. Like, you could, this, in the perfect world, everything is processed and systematized. Right? And that's no small feat to do. That takes typically takes decades to build into something of that quality or of that like simplicity, and yet it's simple, but it's not. Like, everything is complex to a point.
Each,
right?
When you enter into each part of the system, it's simple. And it's like, and it's just like the watch. Oh man, you look at the back of a watch and, oh, I don't know how to turn all these gears. You don't have to. The simplicity is turning one gear.
Yeah.
And all the gears turn as you turn that one.
But the person who designed that watch, and that's why I say it's not simple. The watch is simple. You look at the watch, the gears turn, it tells you the time. Like, it's, oh, it's beautiful. It's simple. Yeah, yeah. It's great. Right? But now take all those things that are inside of it and, like, take each piece out and lay it on the table and tell someone to put it back together.
And, right? And figure out how
that's where the complexity fits. Lies is actually in the research and the preparation and the time that went into building these things into what they are. And that's, I guess, that flicks back to preparation, is that the time and energy that was put into building these processes and systems are the beauty that makes it not easily duplicatable by someone else.
Yeah. And the preparation is the blueprint.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Or the creation of the blueprint, which like preparation, it's like building a muscle, right? Like, how many reps do you have to do? How much weight do you have to put on it? All these types of things to build a muscle. Yeah. Well, you just still have to do all of the reps first. You still have to learn all the hard lessons. You still have to be an expert in your field to create a system that's valid and usable for it. Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not going to walk into a meat processing plant tomorrow and tell them, oh, like, this is how you do a system for meat processing. But I would need years of learning everything that they're doing. Well, maybe not years, but in most cases, like, every business is very nuanced and very complicated and very, to become an expert takes time. It's the 10,000 hour thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so once you become an expert of that, then you can create really beautiful systems for it because you understand it intimately. Right.
Yeah. It makes sense.
So, the other thing I think that's important too is, like, if we start first with the individual, right? I'm going to start with me. I'm a human being. I want to be more excellent. I want to be more able to put out higher volumes. The busier I get, the more I need to be able to do. Right. And so I personally have done preparation, created processes and systems for me as a human being. And that looks like morning routines. That looks like schedules. That looks like having an assistant that takes all my little stuff and puts it and plunks it into this more organized, systematic way of dealing with my day so that I can be more impactful with my time. That's specific process for dealing with my email. That's a process for booking an appointment. That's a process for how I eat. That's a process for how I get dressed. That's a process for every aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. And if we want to be the highest functioning person that we can be, we want to create processes and systems and be prepared. Right. And the reality is, as all these businesses and things have come at me, it's gotten more, the pressure's gotten more and more and more and more, and the need for more and more and more output is required. And you just kind of hit walls where you just go, I don't know how I can do anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that was to create more processes and systems and be more prepared.
Well, can you walk me through like your day? Like, what? I just need an example of the process that you're talking about in a personal way.
Yeah. So, like, I guess it's, there were problems that were created, right? I only have so much time. There's a problem.
Yeah. Okay. It's a constraint.
I have a lot of things that I am required to be able to do. Like, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a friend, I'm a leader, I'm a follower of Christ. Like, all of those things require time and energy from me. And for me to be the best at each of them, I need to have education. I need to have resilience. I need to have strength. I need to have the appropriate amount of time to give to each thing. I need to have a plan to execute on, which requires preparation. So in order for me to do those things, I had to break them down into, okay, what do I need? Like, who do I need to become to solve these problems? And in order to become that person, what do I need to do? Right. Mm-hmm. And in order to do all those things within the limited amount of time, how can I stack these things, use my time better, do more things at once, only pick the things that are most priority to do at a time. and break it down. So like I have a system called Core 4 that I use, where it breaks your life into four chunks, four quadrants, so to speak. And then, you know, we set goals in each quadrant. So it would be fitness, family, which is relationships, faith, which is anything from mental health to your spiritual life, all that kind of thing. Yep. That's where meditation and personal time stuff goes into it. And then finance, which is just business and personal finance, right? Okay. So we break it into the four quadrants. We set goals in each quadrant. We have things that we want to do for each. We review it weekly, we review it monthly, we review it quarterly, right? And it seems like to most people, and like in our leadership teams, I'm trying to cultivate my people into using this system for their progress. It seems ridiculous, right? It's like who does this is the thing that I hear from people, right? And then I go, okay, well, that's just what I want to accomplish quarterly on a high level. My daily thing is, okay, I want to get up early in the morning. I want to read my Bible every single day for a certain amount of time. I want to meditate on that and pray about what I've read and what I have coming up for the day. Then I want to physically make sure I'm taking care of my health. So I'm going to do a workout. I'm going to drink a certain amount of water and take a certain amount of vitamins and drink things that I do. And then when I get back from that, then I'm going to shower and then make sure I'm ready for the day. And if I have the time and the energy, I also want to grow in my knowledge and ability. So I'm going to add some reading into that. So I might read a personal growth book or a spiritual book or a relationship book or a whatever to that. Now I'm going to go get ready for my day, get up, spend time with my family, which is also a priority. So I'm going to have coffee with my wife, help my kids get ready for school, get them off. Well, help. I'm going to say help. My wife might. It's a very loose term, help. And then I'm going to see the kids off to school, and then I'm going to go to work and start my day. And so my day starts, for the most part, 2 to 3 hours before anyone else is even out of bed, right? Why? And that's a sacrifice. I'm sacrificing sleep, time and energy and comfort to make sure that I can become the person that I want to be. But how did I get to that point? Well, I decided that I was going to prepare by making a plan, thinking about what was needed, thinking ahead, thinking about myself, being introspective, and then be prepared by being strong, being healthy, being educated, having proper information. So if I want to prepare for all those things, how am I going to do that with my limited time constraints? Well, I need to have a process. So I'm going to create a rhythm, a routine for myself that's got all the times chunked out so that I don't have to spend a whole bunch of time thinking about it. I get up and I do my process. Click, boom, brush teeth, get dressed, down the list. And then I finish in the same amount of time every single day. And I just know what I'm doing and I can roll through it and I get all that action done. Okay, we'll take that and add it to my leadership system for my company. All the things that I have to do as a CEO, which is networking with people, having meetings, working on our culture, dealing with financial stuff, all the types of things CEOs do. Okay, well, that's now all blocked into processes of how my schedule works, when I meet with my assistant, when I meet with certain individuals, a rhythm of how I individually meet with leaders, a rhythm how I meet with each department, how I communicate. There's processes, there's systems, there's all these things. And so you take that entire thing and now I have a system.
Mm-hmm.
I have a system for my life.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's fantastic. And that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Maybe too much.
One thing you mentioned while you were saying that, the person that you want to be, and it becomes very apparent to me that that is part of it, the want, but there's a lot of it that that's what you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost see it like the need part is like lowest common denominator. And then the want happens over and above, like, you need to be a good father. You need to be a CEO. You're in charge of all these people and making sure that they're getting paid. You're wanting to grow companies. You're wanting to all the things. You actually need to be better. And
to accomplish the goal.
Yeah.
If you want to do this, then you need to do this.
Right.
And that's kind of the trick with it is that, even though that is a need in order for those goals to be accomplished, a lot of people just don't get there. And I guess that's back to your natural, unnatural question. This is the unnatural part. It's the counterintuitive part, mm-hmm. right? It's the sacrifice part. We're not naturally going to look for the opportunity to make sacrifices right. to be the better version of ourselves. That we have to do that with an intentionality and counterintuitively to how we feel. Because what we want to do is sleep in longer in the morning and hit the snooze button. What we want to do is not deal with conflict at work. What we want to do is find the easiest way to do anything.
Yeah.
Right. And that, even though that's our human nature and that's where our want is, the counterintuitive thing is that I need to be better mm-hmm. in order to accomplish these goals. And so I'm going to make sacrifices that are uncomfortable so that I can become who I want to be. And I can get there because I actually just know I'm never going to get there unless I do that here. Mm-hmm. As much as that is uncomfortable and unpleasant at certain points in time.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we prepare. Right?
Absolutely.
How do we do it in business? So like I touch mostly on the personal side for my personal system, how mm-hmm. I do things. But then as a leader, you know, and that's the important distinction here is that we are a leader. And so we're responsible to lead by example. And so if we want to lead by example and we want to believe in processes, systems, and preparation, we have to live with preparation systems and processes in our mm-hmm. own life and model that for other people so they can yeah. see it, right? But going back to that relearning and reteaching thing, when that pain and that frustration comes through, we should, as the leader and as the business owner and or manager, whomever we are, we should feel the responsibility to set our people up for success by giving them clear processes and clear systems mm-hmm. and helping them be prepared for what's coming, right? If we're not growing a business, then there's not really typically anything coming other than maybe adversity.
Right.
Right. But when you're growing, there's always a problem coming, like always, right? And that's where your vision and your thinking head and looking ahead as the leader and the entrepreneur is your responsibility, right? The people working in the business, that isn't up to them and they're not typically doing that, right? They're focused, like I said, they're focused on chopping the tree down when you're looking over the whole forest, right? If the forest has a fire coming the other way, they're just going to keep chopping. You're supposed to be far enough back to go, oh, there's a fire, so I need to change everyone's trajectory mm-hmm. down at the bottom. Or, oh, the forest ends and now we're going to a field, so we need to plan ahead for the next forest or the next location we're going to go to
right.
so that when they hit the end, we don't just stall out. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we need to be looking ahead and looking for those problems, because if you don't look ahead, you can't be prepared. So you can try to be prepared for anything, but that, like, you can't be prepared for everything.
Right. Right.
So you need to have that vision, that leadership to make sure your people are prepared. Right. The other thing is you're going to bring new people in constantly when you're growing. And so when you're bringing new people in, like, you want to teach them one time and you want to teach mm-hmm. them well, and you want to learn from previous mistakes. Right. And so when we create processes, standard operating procedures, when we have each department break things down to the individual steps and simplify it as much as possible, then when we bring new people in, you can set them up for success quickly.
Yeah.
You can get them prepared quickly and you can get them rolling and working the system that you've created and become effective way quicker. Right. And I learned this when we were smaller. We'd bring people in and we had no training procedure and we'd just kind of roll with it. And, oh, follow along with me, the apprentice style, and do what I do and watch what I do. And it can work on a small scale. But when you need to bring in 10, 20 people in a month and in various into mm-hmm. things and train, like, not one person can do that. Right. And you have to become way better, way faster, way quicker, which is, like, another thing that I want to break down here is, okay, systems and processes. They help you get and keep and grow what you're doing. When you don't have those things, you can't meet the demand, so you don't get it. Once you get it, you can't keep it because you can't continue to service it as it goes. And if you're overwhelmed all the time, you certainly can't grow it. Mm-hmm. And so it helps you get, keep, and grow. And the other part that it does is that once you get into a system and a process situation, everything can get better, can get cheaper, and it can get faster. And that's where in your business that you need to constantly be grinding the edges and sharpening and tweaking and making it better. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have systems in place, it's really hard to get that staying power of it, making something, like, you need a process or a system to make something better, right?
Yeah.
If you want to do it cheaper, it needs to be more efficient. So you need to find a way to do more with less. That's how you make it cheaper.
Yeah.
How you make it faster? Well, you need to take the parts out of it that are wasteful. Like, again, it's efficient. Yeah. Efficiency is better, cheaper,
faster. Take away steps or something, right? Like that. Yeah.
And so without systems, processes, and preparation, you're not going to get those things in your business that will take you to the next level and help you beat your competition. Right.
So it seems like you have to kind of revisit your steps, your processes, your systems. You have to revisit them periodically. Yeah. It seems to me.
If you're growing, you are constantly going to be breaking processes and systems.
Yeah.
We just had a meeting yesterday and Kendra brought that up. She said, when I had to train Jesse to take over the controller role for Evans HD, she said, I had written a standard operating procedure. I think, can't remember if it was a year or 2 years previous. And she said, I felt that it was very thorough at the time and that I could teach anyone off that. And so I left it. And she said, and so off I went. And a couple of years later, I go, oh, I'm going to replace myself now. And this person's coming in and they have some experience in bookkeeping and in our organization, but they're, you know, they have to learn a lot of new things. So she pulls out her standard operating procedure and her process, core process. And she looks at it and she goes, oh my goodness, only half of this is still valid. Like, everything's changed. We do this different now. We do that different now. I do that different now. And so it got, we changed things. It got better, but it wasn't documented. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, yeah, she had the process, right, and she was using, yeah, like her experience and her capability to run the process. But when it came to training it, now she had to reteach and redo the process all over again. Right. But whereas if she was to just train Jesse on that, without a process, it would, like, the time that it would take and the energy that would go into that would be really tough to do and really frustrating and hard for both parties involved. And then when Jesse goes to redo that, say when she has to replace herself another time, it's all changed again and it's not been documented, right? And so it's just taking the time to do that and being prepared, like, it's just so seamless. Like, if a person comes in, they have the process, you teach them through it once, and then you can walk away and then they can keep running the yeah, system.
Right. And it builds confidence into them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then they can jump in and they feel successful right away. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's, so with preparation, it's your training process should be really nailed down and you should get that really clean. You should have training process. You should have hiring processes. You should have accounting process, operations processes, sales processes, marketing processes. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have them, and like, I know that sounds, this is the unsexy part, that sounds like the most terrible thing, and in truth it is pretty annoying and tedious and frustrating to build, mm-hmm, these, to take the time, because you just want to do the work. There's, what happens is we get so busy that we actually don't really have time to do that anymore.
Yeah,
right. It's like the moment that you go, I need a better system. The moment they go, I need to hire someone and train them. The moment that you go, this isn't working anymore, you absolutely do not have time to rework your system. You don't have time to change your software. You don't have time to write a new standing operator procedure or a core process. You don't have time to bring someone in and teach them how to do what you're doing, because mm-hmm, it takes two or three times the time to teach someone to do what you're already doing. You don't have the time.
No.
And so now you're trapped. Right? Like, you're trapped in this, yep, horrible situation where the urgent is overcoming the important. Right?
Yeah. And you're having to teach somebody, you're getting frustrated at them because, mm-hmm, you're like, well, can't you just get it?
And it's, and like, something's, well, obviously suffer.
Don't. Yeah.
Or many things are going to suffer. Your business is going to suffer. And I've made this mistake for years, dozens of times, still struggling to stay ahead of that problem. Right? Because when we're a small business, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough energy. We don't have enough experience. What all that stuff is like the grind of building a business is hard. Mm-hmm. To start on day one and say, okay, I'm going to hire an extra person and train them to do that thing. Or I'm going to create this system for the problems they don't really already know exist. Or I'm going to blah, 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 buy the expensive software. I'm going to get the equipment that makes it happen quicker. Or I'm going to, you just don't have those resources, yeah, initially, right? And so that's part of the struggle, is that this can't be done. I won't say can't. Often is not done to perfection, even to this day, the way I do things. But the reality is the more I think ahead, the more prepared I can be, the better our processes are, the more the system works, the more success we have.
Yeah. I think it's a testament to why those franchises are so successful, oh, so quickly, and, yeah, and the owners of them are less stressed than someone who's trying to start up a, yeah, a restaurant.
Well, I read an article the other day, Flying J truck stops is going to open 64 new locations this year or something like that.
Holy smokes.
And you're just like, 64 truck stops. One truck stop is a big ordeal. Like my, if you've been to US based truck stop, they're a small city in some cases. Right. You know, there's a store, there's a restaurant, there's a shop, there's a fuel islands, there's parking, there's pavement, like there's all these functions, all these things are going to go on, and there's going to be all these employees and there's all this training to do. Like, it's an undertaking. We're going to do 64 in 1 year. Right? Like that's five more than 5 a month. Preparation
that goes into choosing those locations, right?
Yeah. And obviously there's preparation. Obviously there's people who that's their whole jobs. But if you do not have processes and systems, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Opening one store is hard. Opening the second store is really hard. In each one, it's like, it's not just, it doesn't just pop out of the ground and instantly start working. There's all kinds of problems there. But when these franchises have these systems built and these things tuned in so perfectly, it's almost guaranteed success, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've done everything that they needed to do in advance to be excellent. And that is why these franchises are so valuable. People pay, like if I want to open a McDonald's tomorrow, I'm going to go pay McDonald's, whatever number it be, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, just to use their system to start my restaurant that I'm going to run under their banner.
Yeah.
Right? That's value. They didn't sell. That's not the building. That's not the people. That's not the product.
Yeah.
That's that they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for a system, which can be written down on paper.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to create value in your business? Create systems that can run without you needing to be the one on the hands on the wheel all the time, right? How do others do it? I think, man, I struggled with this part. How do other people do it? Because I think other people, obviously we talked about McDonald's, we're talking about Flying J, these big corporations, like they figured it out. Right. And so they create systems, they create their own proprietary equipment, they create a product, they create these things, they manufacture them. And so they have proven that they can do a pretty good job of it. But when we go down into the more small business realm, the things that I see people struggle and hurdle over is just that, like I stated earlier, that lack of resources, the lack of thinking ahead, the lack of solving these problems, and the tedium of creating core processes and training people and the whole rethinking and reworking. I think that's the real frustrations of it, right? They don't think ahead enough. They don't have enough resources. They get started and then they get overwhelmed and they struggle to create structure. And usually that means that stops their growth. Right? Complexity begins to happen. Things get more complicated than they need to be. And they just don't, they overcomplicate things and they can't grow. Right? It's a tough battle, right? Which is why we're sitting here talking about it here today, right? There's a lot of businesses struggle with this part, right? You can be the best salesman in the world, but if you can't meet that demand because you don't have those systems.
Yeah. There's a certain amount stuck. That you're just called to move out of your natural state. And like we said before, move out of the natural state into like a bit of an unnatural state of choosing the more difficult thing, choosing the more difficult path in order to just grow and sometimes even just maintain.
Yeah. Well, by the time you get home at the end of the night, because this is the thing is in the early stages of business, you're wearing all the hats, right? You're showing up early and doing the opening. You're doing the sales to the customers. You're dealing with the customer service problems. You're reiterating your product. You're working on your service. You're out in the shop supporting someone. You're looking for a new hire. You're interviewing someone. Oh, and then you got to do the books. And then you got to go to the bank. And then you got to register the thing. And all the also needs this. And oh, you got a flat tire. And all this is this problem. Like, so you're in the fire all the time. Right. So when do you work on the business? And when we say work on the business, this is a big part of what working on the business is looking at it and going, like getting that 30,000 foot view, looking down and going, how can we make this better?
Yeah.
How can this operate with less of me in it? Right. Like what systems can I create so that I don't need to answer the 100 questions so that the problems that come up from the day to day are self-solving or removed from the issue. Right. A rule that I like to touch on here, and I think that is really helpful as a business owner, this is gonna, I don't know where to go from here, is to look at the business that you have, the, you know, whether you think you have systems or not, you have processes and you have systems. You probably just haven't written them down step by step, but you do things the way you do things and there's an order to it. Take whatever you're doing, whether it be a service business or a product or a software or, you know, people or whatever it is, and go, okay, if tomorrow I walked in and I had to do 10 times as much stuff as I'm doing today, like all the customers showed up, all the service, like I got 100 service calls instead of 10. If I had to sell 10,000 widgets instead of 1,000, if I had to have 100 employees instead of 10, just 10 times every scenario in your business in one day and go, would my systems be able to handle that? Mm-hmm. Like what would break down immediately, right? And start listing them out. We're just like, okay, if I had 100 people, the way I track holiday pay and holiday time wouldn't work. The way I do payroll, it couldn't work anymore. The way that I do meetings and communication wouldn't work anymore. The way that we deal with customer calls wouldn't work anymore. The way that we take calls on my cell phone after hours. Well, I couldn't take 1,000 calls in an evening. So I'd have to delegate that somehow, or I'd have to organize it somehow. Like let it break, like let that visualization of doing 10 times what you're doing now, break down each of the things in your businesses that wouldn't work in that case. Mm-hmm. Right? And then write them down because these are all things that you're going to have to fix at some point. Right? So then back it down and go, okay, what if I just did double? What if I did twice as many tomorrow as you do now? Because you should, in any given day, whatever you're doing, your system should be able to do twice as much, I believe. Yeah. Right? Like, okay, I need twice as much equipment. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about is the equipment that I have, if I had another one and there was two operators running it, would it just do the same thing? Is it scalable? Is it duplicatable? Mm-hmm. Right? And ask you those. So start with the 10 times, because the 10 times is so ridiculous that it will, there's almost no system in anyone's business that could handle 10 times what they're doing now. So it's going to break everything, but it's going to point out to you where the real problems are.
Yeah.
And then when you go to the double, then out of that list of 10 or 15 or 100, that's going to break down to, okay, say there's 5 or 10 things here. Well, those are the things you tackle first. Those are the things that I need to fix right now, okay? If I had to do double, if I have 20 employees and I had to have 40, there's no way I could continue to just let people tell me their holidays last minute, or let people ask me for a different advance amount on their paycheck every month, or let people show up late once in a while just because it's not that big of a deal, or like the things that you tolerate or do. I couldn't, if there was double, I couldn't possibly schedule everyone's workflow and just let them know as they come in the morning what their schedule is going to be.
Yeah.
Right. Like all, it will break those systems down. And that just means that your systems and your processes aren't clear enough. They're not good enough. If you had to hire 20 people tomorrow, can your training program pump 20 people out in a reasonable amount of time?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm reminded of Google, who had that problem where they had, they needed so many employees that they were hiring people to hire people. So they're hiring the HR department just to hire people because that's how much volume they had. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've read the story too. It's just like, and that's what I mean by going 10 times, right? Like they probably did 100 times at that point in the thing. And it's just full chaos. Like people talk about how ridiculous it was. People were hiring people that only got hired the day before, right? Like it's just insanity, which is like, in some ways it's cool. If you were a part of it, I'm sure you wouldn't have thought that at the time.
Yeah, no.
But the chaos and the messes that had to get cleaned up after the fact and all that kind of stuff, like it, they made it and things worked out in the end. But in that industry, there's a lot more grace for that with the amount of money that was getting pumped into it too. Like in an average typical business, you would never be able to put up with that. You'd be under immediately, right?
Yeah, you'd just be crushed.
Just crushed. Another thing I think that's worth, a point that's worth saying is that great processes and great systems will not replace good people, right? Like if you have bad people, they're not going to be able to run your processes. They're not going to be smart enough. They're not going to care enough. They're not going to have the right values. And they're just, you still have to have good people to run these things, right? And and I've read in books with a franchising kind of thought process models that you need to simplify everything down to the dumbest scenario so that it's so simple that anybody can walk in the door and do that particular job and do it successfully. And I agree to a point, right? It's like that you know, you should be able to have the lowest level of education experience possible and someone to be able to walk in the door and do the job that you need them to do with this standard process and some basic training, right? It's totally true. But if you have people that aren't on values, this isn't going to work anyways.
Right.
So we got to always start with the right people. The systems and the processes take good people and make them more effective. Mm-hmm. They make them more efficient. They make them more productive, right? You take the good people and you add a multiplier to them. The systems is a multiplying effect, right? And so don't misunderstand that a good process and a good system is going to solve your people problems, right? They're different issues altogether,
right?
With systems and processes too, as we're building them, we will always have to go back and try and kill complexity and streamline processes. Because what worked a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago is not going to work now. And as you continue to grow, you're going to kind of bolt things onto your systems and add processes and add steps and things like that. And if you don't go back and look at it, it gets so overly complex that people just get really frustrated with how many steps are required or how you're doing things. It's not always like more steps and more checklists and more that often isn't good enough. You need to really focus on killing complexity. Anything that's complicated, anything that takes too many steps, anything that requires someone to be a rocket scientist to run, that you need to work on cleaning that up, right? Complexity kills growth all day long, right? So we want to keep it simple, we want to keep it scalable, and we want to keep it speedy, right?
Right.
Things that can be done and rolled on, make sense, quickly learned, all that kind of stuff. Streamlining. So like for example, our maintenance program with our trucks. When we first started, we were using regular oil in our trucks, and they wanted to exchange oil every 25,000K roughly. Right. So basically once a month. So that truck has to get back into the shop, has to be pulled inside, and it has to take, you know, a couple hours to go through everything, grease it, change the oil, change the filters. It costs $500-$600 to do an oil change on a semi truck. And like for productivity's sake, that's one day that truck's off the road, or one time that it has to be back at the shop, which often made guys have to go off route. It messed with people's schedules. It required me to have mechanics available for it. And so, you know, that system became frustrating because it's like the dispatcher's going like, I need him to get to his load. I need him to take his load from Chicago to Edmonton, but we need to get him through for an oil change or whatever. And now he's going off road and he doesn't really have time to go off road and stop in and waste a few hours doing this. Like, so then this tedium happens. So we look at the process. We go, okay, well, what if we use a different oil that lasts longer? Right. So we start doing, okay, so we're iterating. We found some oil. Okay. We can change this oil at 50. And then we push it to 75, and then we push it here, and we figured it out along the way. So now the truck's only having to come in for an oil change every 6 months. Oh, well, guess what? We can do that oil change at the same time we do our safety. And then when we do our safety, we can do our tire rotations. And we're stacking all of these things. And so instead of going, okay, I got to come in for a tire rotation, I got to come in for an oil change, I got to come in for safety, I've got to come in for greasing, I've got to do a windshield, I've got to all these various maintenance things that are required, we do it all in one shot. We got to plan one day every 6 months to make sure that truck's in, outside of other regular breakdowns and things, comes in, gets everything done. Yeah. That's a great system.
Yeah.
And it saves us a ton of money. It's really simple. It's not complicated. One piece of paper, one checklist, one thing to go through. And that took us years and years anyways, to fine tune that system to where it is today. And so our maintenance program went from that truck's got to be in here once every single month. And then for various other things, more so, like multiple times a month, to once every 6 months, right? And the amount of, like, it's way less complicated. There's way less people involved. There's way less communication. There's way, all these things pushed into a system. And now we have one solid process for all the things that we do in the truck and one execution, right? So that's an example of how we're doing it and have created systems to increase our productivity. We've made it faster. We've made it cheaper. We've made it better.
That's awesome.
Right? So those are the questions you need to be asking yourself when you're setting these things up. We want to be able to duplicate things and scale things ultimately in our business. And this goes back to what I said at the beginning, right? The dream of the entrepreneur is to create their product or their service and go out into the world and everybody loves what you're doing, loves your product, loves your service, and you get overwhelmed with demand from your customer, right? That's the dream. We get all kinds of revenue and there's all kinds of profits and there's blah, blah, blah. It's a beautiful thing, right? If that dream were to come true, we need to have ourselves set up and prepared to meet that demand. Mm-hmm. And that means that you need to make sure that the systems and processes that you create are scalable, duplicatable, multipliable, and growing. Right. I think that's incredibly important. When we're building a system or we're building a process as a leader, we need to go, can I do this over and over and over again? Can I teach this to anybody? Right.
Yeah.
It comes in. Can I, you know, will this meet the demand of the dream that I'm trying to build here? Right.
Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, teaching somebody, I'm trying to think of like businesses that I've heard about, friends and things like that, that can you teach it to that person, that teenager, that isn't passionate about X thing, mm-hmm. that isn't interested, and can they do it? And can they repeat it? I mean, that's the franchise. The franchise is hiring usually those younger people, and they're able to do it. They're able to do those functions fairly easily because the system is so well built.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And it is our responsibility as a business owner to do those things, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you're going to start a business, think about being prepared. Like you always have to start. I say this all the time because we had a conversation. We read a chapter in a leadership book about timing. And I think timing is really key and we got to time things right. I think being prepared is really key and we got to mm-hmm. make sure we do the best to be prepared. But that's not an excuse to not start.
Right.
Right. Because that's the fear. Like you can listen to all these podcasts and go, I got to do this. And then I got to do this. And I got to do this. I got to do this. And like, I'll never be able to do all this. I'm never going to have time is the thing that comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you say and you live on the laurels that I'm never going to have time, you never will.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can't live your life with, I'm never going to have time. You have to live your life with, I'm going to get started. Right.
Yeah.
And so get started, get going. But know that in order for you to succeed, to compete, to be the best and most excellent company you're ever going to be, you need to have tuned in processes and systems, and you need to make sure you're prepared as the leader and that you're preparing your people and setting them up for success.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's great.
So takeaway today, you are going to fall to the level of how prepared you are. Process equals progress.
Yep.
And systems equal success.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Take that hard look. Use that 10X rule and that double up rule to see if the systems that you have are going to work in your business for that level of growth, and work on your business instead of in it. Make sure you're doing the important things and not just the urgent ones.
Oh yeah. Those are good.
All right. Thanks guys for listening. We really appreciate all your feedback and the things we've been hearing. I'm glad to hear so many times from people that this podcast has really been helpful to them. You know, it seems like every time that I think, oh, I don't even know why I'm doing this anymore. Like, is anybody even out there listening? It seems like every time that thought comes into my head, I get a couple messages or some feedback or I really appreciated this particular thing you said. And so that really does help us stay motivated to keep going absolutely. And to keep helping people. If you can, please rate the podcast wherever you take it in. Share it with your friends, connect with us on social media. Keep listening and engaging with us. And we really appreciate it. Have a great week, everyone.